Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
I'll tell you, I feel God here today. The Lord is here to meet the need of His children, His people, and we praise Him for it today. Want you to remember service tonight that the Lord will bless about 5 o'clock. Come early to pray and to wait upon God, and I believe that God will bless in a marvelous way. Amen. I want you to kind of listen to me for a little while this morning, if you will. I feel like God has dealt with me very hard about something, and I want to just kind of get your attention if I can. Sister Frieda, can I get your attention? Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. The message that I have this morning is going to be, you wonder why that I would preach it on a Sunday morning to the saints of God, but I believe that it is the hand of the Lord. And I want you to really kind of give me your full attention. Please don't move around and kind of listen to what I feel that God has for us today. I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verse 1 and 2 there this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, God, that is here today. We thank you, Father, for the anointing and for the victory against the enemy of our soul. God, we're so glad today. We're on the winning side. We're glad today, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy, your long-suffering, your gentleness, and your kindness. And Lord, we ask you today, God, to help us to rightly divide the word of truth and open the hearts and the minds of your children. God, I ask you to open their heart and their mind today to lay aside everything, Lord, they're thinking about tomorrow or this afternoon, but God, to pay heed to your word. Hide us away behind the cross, and God, will be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. In 1 John chapter 2, and beginning of verse number 1. I want you to notice the reading of this as John is writing. He is not writing unto the sinner. He's not writing unto the ungodly, but he said, my little children. He was writing unto the saints of God, unto those that love the Lord, or those that had been living for God, those that had been transformed from Judaism unto Christianity. And he's writing unto them, and he said, my little children, he said, these things, he said, I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, he said these things, and I want to back up a little bit before I get really into the meat of the message. And so, God, what are these things? So in chapter 1, he said there that he said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The fellowship one with another is very important unto the saints of God. Come on, say amen. We need that fellowship in the church. We need that fellowship one with another. So number 2, he say that if we have no sin, we kind of deceive ourselves. That if we say that we have not sinned against God, if we have not broken the laws of God, God said we're kind of deceiving ourselves. And then he went on to say, but if we confess our sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he said, if we say we have not sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us today. And so he said, these things I write unto you that I want you to know, the saints of God. So I'm going to be talking to you this morning a little bit about sin. And you know about sin. I don't have to go into any real depth about sin, but I just feel like that God has let me know that there are those in the congregation. I want to shock you this morning that you have been tempted to sin either this week or it's coming up in the week to come, that you have been or you are right now in the situation where that the enemy is tempting you to sin one way or another, or something within your life that you're dealing with that God has been speaking to you about, that you ought not to do it, you better not do it, but God is saying unto you that if you do it, then you're committing sin or you're breaking the laws of God. Now, I don't want to be harsh, I want to be kind, but I want to really get into what God is really talking about this morning. So, what is sin? I want you to look at it in the light of the gospel. The sin is very destructive in your life. It destructs everything within your life. It upheavals everything in your life, in your home, in your school, or whatever you may be. Sin disrupts your entire life and brings a complete, total dissatisfaction within your life. Sin is a killer. It will eventually, if you allow that, it's like a cancer, that it will eventually destroy you spiritually and physically, and you lose your soul without God. Then sin is a separation from God, a separation from God, that you are totally and completely separated. So what do we say that sin is? Sin is death. That's kind of bring it down to very plain, clean language. The Bible said that he that, that commits sin is worthy of death. That person is going to die. So when we look in the Word of God, and I want you to follow me very closely, for in 1 John 3 and verse 9, it said, whosoever is born of God. Now, I want to make it plain. I don't want to leave anybody here leaving here and not knowing what I'm talking about, but the Bible said, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in you, that you cannot sin because he is born of God. Now you say, Pastor, are you telling me that maybe we, that we're living a life that we can't commit sin? No, I'm not saying that, but I am saying unto you today that if the seed of God and you are born again, you are saved, and the Lord has really redeemed you and you're in the family of God, it's an impossibility for you to willingly sin against God. Brother Terry, give me just a little bit up if you will. It's an impossibility for you to commit a willing sin against God. Now, I want to explain that for just a little bit here this morning. You say, Pastor, are you saying that I cannot sin? No, I'm saying you should not sin. I'm saying if the seed of God is in your heart, if Jesus Christ is in your life today and you're living for him and his love is within your heart, it's an impossibility for to willfully sin against God. If I would ask you to come up here this morning, and I've said this before, if I would ask you to come up here this morning and you're a saint of God, you're a child of God, and I say, now I want you to start cursing God. I want you to start taking the name of the Lord in vain. You could not bring yourself to do it because it's a willfully sin against God. You cannot bring yourself, if you are, and I'm being repetitious in this, if you are a child of God and the seed of God remains within you today, it's an impossibility for you to willingly commit sin and disgrace the kingdom of God. You can't do it. I can't do it. I can't bring myself in the place where I can willingly confess to do the sin before God. A saint of God cannot do that because the seed of God remains within him, and it forbids him to sin against God. Somebody say amen. We have a young couple with us this morning that recently had open heart surgery, and it's a great blessing for them to be in the house of the Lord this morning. But if I would ask that husband, as he has carried that little baby in his arms, when we was in the hospital and he carried that little baby around while his wife was going through a surgery, that maybe possibility should not be able to come out of it, and carried that little baby. And so I know how much he loves that little child, that little baby. And if I would ask him this morning to bring that child up here, and he'd bring that child up here, and I'd say unto him, I want you to take that baby by the legs, and I want you to pound his head against the pew. He'd say, I cannot do that. I'd say, all right, put the baby on the ground. I want you to stop that baby. He said, I cannot do that. I would say unto him, you have the mentality, you have the strength, you have the ability, you can do it if you want to do it. What is keeping you from doing that? And he would look unto me and he'd say, because I love this child more than I love myself. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying unto you today that if you love Jesus Christ as he loves that child, or love the Lord with all of your heart and your soul, if the devil comes to you and wants you to willingly transgress the laws of God, you can't do it. And the reason you can't do it is because you love Jesus with all of your heart. Amen. Come on, say amen. The Bible said in Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We are living in a generation where sin is abounding on every hand. You cannot walk down the street without sin abounding. You cannot go to your job without sin abounding in that job. You cannot turn on the radio, but what sin is there? You cannot turn on the TV, but what sin is greater than it's ever been before. Sin is on a rampage today, and we're engulfed in that today. And God said, we need to take heed, brethren, lest there be any of us an evil heart that would transgress the laws of God. We've got to be very careful in our Christian life today. I'm telling you that Jesus is about to break the clouds of glory. I'm telling you that time is coming to an end for the church of the living God. I'm telling you today that we're living on the brink of eternity for the church of the living God. And that's why the devil today is tempting God's people to sin and transgress the laws of God, because he knows time is just about over. And if he can get you at the end of this race to commit sin, you're going to be lost and dying without Christ, without hope. I'm going to get into the meat of it in just a little bit. Hebrews 3:8, he that committeth sin, the Bible said, is of the devil. Now, I want to get into the very important part of this message this morning. The Bible tells us in 2 John chapter 2 and 3 and 15, it said some very important things that I want you to listen to very, very carefully. God said, love not the world. Listen to me. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it went on to say that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. Come on, listen to me. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. There never has been in the time of the Christian of mankind where lust is so prevalent that it is in the world today. Listen to me. Lust is out there. Lust faces you every day. There is two things said in the New Testament that we need to take heed to. And listen to what God's saying in his word, that that the youth are to flee. He said, run, get away from it. Don't have anything to do with it. Flee youthful lust. Get away from it. And then God said number two was to flee adultery. There is something about the lust of the flesh is such a demanding thing. It has such a hold on humanity today that our lives is filled with the element of lust. Husband and wife today are facing things like they have never faced before, because the devil is making the wife to be unhappy with the husband. The husband is unhappy with the wife. And so lust begins to enter into the picture. And the outcome of it is that somebody commits adultery against God. Now you say, Pastor, I'm Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm dedicated to God. I love God, and I would not under any circumstances bring myself to transgress my wife or my husband. I would not do that. But listen to me. There was a man in the Bible called David that was the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. God loved him. God protected him. God gave him everything that he wanted. Spiritually, physically, financially, David had everything under the sun that he wanted. But one day when David was walking on the housetop, he saw a woman in the nude. And rather than to turn his eyes and walk away in the fear of God, he laid aside the fear of God. He laid aside anything connected with God. He laid aside all of that God had done for him. And all of a sudden, the spirit of lust had so taken a hold of him, he didn't even think about God. He didn't even think about the things of God. Only thing he could think about was the spirit of lust that had totally dominated and completely overtaken his life. And he called and said, I want that woman brought to me. Now, wait a minute, David, you can't do that. That woman is another man's wife. Bring her to me. You can't do that, David, because you ought not to do it. That's sin against God. No, bring her to me. Lust had so consumed this man of God and so overtaking his life into such a degree that no matter what anybody said, no matter what God said, no matter what the Spirit of the Lord said unto him, he was going to have that woman, because lust had consumed his life. And he did. And you know the results of that, that the Spirit of the Lord had, the protection of God had departed from him. The little child that was born to that union died. The spear never left David's life, even up to the spearing of Jesus Christ on Calvary when they drove the spear into his side. David paid a horrible price because he allowed himself to be consumed of that lustful spirit. No wonder God said in his word, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. One of the first things that he named is the lust of the flesh. This old carnal man, this man, it does not make any difference how young you are, how old you are. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a world where we're surrounded by a spirit of lust, and it's began to infiltrate its way into the church of the living God. Amen. We need to stand up and realize today what is going on in this life that we are living. Now I'm telling you, God spoke to me just as plain as he could speak to me. He didn't tell me who, he didn't tell me what, he didn't tell me the names of people. But God told me as a pastor, he said, Pastor, I want you to preach this because there are people in the congregation that are being tempted to do things that I don't want them to do, and I've warned them, but yet they are not taking heed. So God said, I want you to tell them the lust of the flesh will destroy them. Listen to me. Not only did David commit the sin of lust and idolatry, but he committed murder. He absolutely, beyond the shadow of any doubt, was the reason that Uriah got killed in the battle. It was his orders to put him up there and to kill him so he could have his wife. You talk about the controlling fact of lust in the lives of people today. Brother, it'll come cause you to commit adultery. It'll cause you to do things that you think is impossible to happen to you. If we would look at what's happening in the world today, men are taking little babies, 1 year, 2 years old, committing incest, committing sin. We look at as what's happening in the world today, where rape is on a rampage in this world. We look at the world where homosexuality, lesbian, and all of these things, my God, is taking over America, taking over the world. All of these things that are happening, it's all because God said the lust of the flesh will dominate you. You cannot, you must not, you will not allow that spirit of lust to come into your heart and separate your home. Separates you from your wife or your husband. You can't do it. The Bible said the world passes away and the lust thereof. It's going to be gone one of these days. And ladies and gentlemen, if you allow the devil to come into your life and allow the devil to overtake you and begin to lust after somebody else in this world, and it don't have to be after the flesh. It can be after anything in this world. We lose sight of God because we want, we want, we want, we want. And we're never satisfied in this life. We need to take heed today to what God is saying in His world. This lust is going to pass away. No wonder John said, "My little children, these things are written unto you, that you sin not." Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't allow yourself to do it. You don't know but what tomorrow you'll stand before God. You don't know but before you get home today that something would happen that you'll stand before God. You don't know the day nor the hour where you're going to stand before Him. But you can know that you're clean, that whatever happens, that you're just going to make heaven your home. Listen to what the Bible says today. "My little children, that you sin not. But if you sin, if you've gone beyond what I'm saying today, and you've allowed the devil to put that spirit of lust within your heart because as we get older, it doesn't make any difference how young or how old you are today. The lust is there. And maybe you've allowed this spirit of lust to kind of infiltrate within your mind. It hasn't yet entered into your heart. But you're looking around, you say, well, I would be better with that one, or I'd be better with this one, or things would be better, and I'd be happier here, and I'd be happier there. Don't you know who's talking to you? Don't you know it's the satanic powers of hell that it's going to bring such an unhappiness? It's going to take away your joy. It's going to take your spiritual life with God. It's going to take away everything within your life, and you're going to end up lost and undone without God if you allow this thing to dominate your life today. My little children, I write unto you. He said, don't sin. But if you sin, you've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, I'm not telling you that we all don't have faults and failures. And I'm not telling you sometimes we don't fail. And we don't do things or caught up in something that is unseemingly or not what God would have us to have. We all, no matter who we are, face these things today. And there are times in our life when we've got to go to God. We've got to repent. We've got to say, Lord, God, please take away. Lord, I don't want these evil thoughts. I don't want these evil imaginations. Lord, I don't want that spirit of lust to control me and destroy my home, my life, my husband, my wife, my children. God, I don't want that to happen. Lord, please take it away. That's why Jesus said in His word, you have an advocate with the Father. when you need to recognize this morning the thing that is troubling you, the thing that is bothering you. It's not anything strange or unseemly today. Because the Bible lets us to know there hath no temptation taken you, but is common to man. But with the temptation, God has made a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We all face these temptations. We all go through these times. But there are times that we need to run to Jesus, flee to the Lamb of God, and say, Lord, cleanse my mind, cleanse my thought, God. Lord, cleanse my desire. God, take away these things. And Lord, if you see that I'm going to fail, God, take me home. Don't let it happen, God. Don't let me embarrass you. Don't let me embarrass the church. Don't let me embarrass my family. But God, if you see I'm going to fall, God, just take me home now. Don't let me fall into that trap. You see, we're living in a sinful world today, and we need to recognize this. Listen to how wonderful God has been. He said in 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, pardon me, because they knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse number 3 is the one I want to get to. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Purifies himself. When I get in trouble, or when I am tempted, or when those evil thoughts or evil imaginations or of all the things that the devil brings against every child of God, whether he be a minister, teacher, evangelist, song leader, doesn't make any difference. We all go through these things and we face them as same as you face them today. They are there. But listen, I am a son of God. Listen to me. I am a son of God. I've been washed in his blood. My heart is pure before Almighty God today. I've got a standard I've got to live up to. I've got to hold on to. Because I don't want to embarrass my Heavenly Father. I remember when I was in the service and in the Marine Corps. And I remember in the boot camp how hard and how difficult and how some were not able to endure it. And we even had some that they called went over the hill or they departed. And the thought even entered my mind because of the things that we were going through. And yet, you know, the very thing that kept me true to what I had committed to was that I did not want to embarrass my parents. I'll do anything rather to embarrass my mother or my dad. I would not do that. I'll take the hurt. I'll take the pain. I'll take the loneliness, I'll take all the abuse I can, but God, I will not do that. And that's the same way that I feel with the Lord Jesus today. God, I'll take the pain. I'll take the loneliness, God. Lord, I'll take the sorrow. Lord, just whatever you want to pass my way. But God, I refuse to embarrass my Heavenly Father. I will not, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I will not, by His divine mercy and His divine grace, I have no intentions of embarrassing my Heavenly Father. Because you know why? Because I'm His son. I belong to Him. He's mine. I'm His. I love Him. I worship Him. I want to be a part of Him. I want to talk to Him one day and hear Him say, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God, don't let me fail. God, don't let me bring a reproach on the kingdom of God. Lord, don't let me do it, God. So what's it going to keep me from doing it? Is by repenting, by praying. When those evil thoughts come and those evil imaginations come, when that spirit of lust tries to take over you, go to your knees. Get before God. Get a hold of the horns of the altar of God and say, "God, I'm not letting go. Lord, I'm going to hold. And God, I'm going to defeat this lustful spirit that is trying to destroy me, my home, and my children. God, I'm not going to embarrass you today. But Lord, I'm going to wait upon you. And Father, until you deliver me from this evil spirit that is trying to control me. My little children, I write unto you. Don't sin. Don't willfully transgress the law of God. Don't willfully walk away from God. Don't willfully turn your back on the Savior. He's your only hope today. And He is your only deliverer today. You have no hope without Him. You have no tomorrow without Him. You have no home without Him. You have no husband without Him. You have no wife without Him. You don't have anything without Jesus Christ in your life today. And it all depends on how that you have made up your mind. God, I'm not going to embarrass you. But Lord, I'm going to hold to that unchanging hand of God.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.